It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Edge with Jonathan Von Tobel and Matt Eumanns on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What up, folks? Welcome in. It is The Edge here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Got a good show on tap today. Brian Edwards, senior handicapper over at Vegas Insider, is going to join us in 30 minutes. He has a new win total that he's added to the portfolio, rumor is. We're going to talk about that in a little bit more as we continue to go through our Edge preseason top 40 as we are getting closer and closer to the top five, Matt. We also, of course, have big news in the National Football League, which we'll get to in about 5 minutes from now. Deshaun Watson, NFL, they have settled 11 games and a fine for Watson. So we know what the, at least, absence is going to be like for Watson when it comes to next season. But we're going to begin with a couple of other things before we get to the Watson news. First and foremost, your guy, Justin Herbert. What are your top five quarterbacks in the National Football
League? Number five.
Yeah?
Yeah. We did the list yesterday here on The Edge, our top 10 quarterbacks. I've got Herbert at number five. He was the number six pick in the 2020 draft. So the VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide is going to be out in about a week. We're going to be working on this all weekend, trying to get it out as soon as possible. I worked on the AFC West and JVT. My question today is, how seriously do you take Justin Herbert as an MVP candidate? We've got some audio from a former NFL GM who's predicting Herbert to be the MVP and the Chargers to make the Super Bowl. Are you buying that or not? Right now, Herbert at Circus Sports plus 925. You're going to find him around most books in the 10-1 range to win MVP. I don't think that's great value with so many elite candidates, and you know, a lot of people prefer to take swings at long shots anyway. But Justin Herbert last year finished number two in the NFL in passing yards, 5,014. He started 32 games in his first 2 years. He holds NFL records for most passing yards and passing touchdowns, 69, in a player's first 2 years in the league. Are you buying the Chargers getting over the hump? Herbert to be in the MVP conversation, and is this a team you think can win the AFC?
I'm going to lean a little bit more to the no than I would toward yes, because here's my problem. And since you wrote the AFC West, you could speak on this with a little bit greater detail than I. But when going over the Chargers in the offseason and getting ready for this season, the one thing that bothered me is they did nothing, almost nothing, to address their biggest weakness, which was their run defense. Their run defense was terrible last year. Across the board, bottom 20s in a lot of defensive metrics when it came to defending the run. And, I mean, you tell me, did I miss a massive addition to the interior of that defense? Because Kyle Van Noy is great. J.C. Jackson's fantastic. But all perimeter pieces, when you're talking about one of the things that really bothered you as a team last year, It's that. And thus, I would think, holding back Justin Herbert, who as a starter is 15-17, and I would think it's really not a lot of his own fault. It's been a defense and pieces around him that have failed him. So why would I believe he can get over the hump when his defense and the massive weakness they have is largely going to remain the same?
Yeah, the Chargers in yards allowed ranked 30th in run defense last season.
It was bad.
It was really bad. Now you add Khalil Mack, you add J.C. Jackson. Jackson is an elite cornerback.
Yep.
Khalil Mack's a rush. He's an edge rusher, essentially. Those guys are not going to make a huge difference in the run defense. The Chargers made a couple other smaller additions. I'm not sure how much better that run defense is going to be, but Derwin James being healthy the entire season would certainly help a lot. That's got to be the weakness, I think, of the Chargers. Until they prove that their run defense is that much better, that's going to be a problem.
But really quickly, because it sounds like I avoided the question, for me to expand on that, that would mean then, like, is this Chargers team going to be like 10-7, right? Because of how defense, like, is that an MVP type record? Can Justin Herbert put up MVP-ish type numbers, but they finish like 10-7, make it as a wild card? Would that be enough to win an MVP? Because I would say probably not.
All right, well, let's hear what Mike Tannenbaum has to say. You want to hear Mike Tannenbaum?
I do.
He was on ESPN's Get Up.
He follows me on Twitter. What's up, Mike?
Does he really?
Yeah.
Former GM of the New York Jets, ESPN analyst, talking about Justin Herbert and a bold prediction.
Two words, Justin Herbert. And taking nothing away from Kansas City, Justin Herbert could stand toe-to-toe with this Kansas City offense, and they are absolutely loaded on both sides of the ball. And while Kansas City lost a great player, Tyreek Hill, the Chargers added Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, and this guy right here is going to be the league MVP. Ooh. And when you look at their weapons, they're just as good as what the Chiefs had. And taking nothing away from the Hall of Famer Andy Reid, the future Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes, this is the year that Justin Herbert gets over the hump and takes the Chargers to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's a lot. Said a mouthful.
Does he get over the hump? Is he already at the point where he has a hump to get over? It's only his third year.
I think the Chargers have been trying to get over the hump for a long time.
There's a big hump for the Chargers, so automatically it's his hump, I guess.
It's more about the Chargers. He kind of assumes all the baggage from the past.
I would think he's more about turning the corner than getting over the hump.
Yeah, obviously winning that Week 18 game in Las Vegas last year would have gone a long way, I think, in launching the Chargers. But they came up short and lost to the Raiders 35-32 in overtime. Couldn't get to the playoffs. I think I'm going to, as big a Justin Herbert fan as I am, I'm going to pass on the MVP bet at 10-1. I would even lean under the total of 10 in terms of wins. When you look at the AFC West, and I like the Chargers' chances, they could potentially win that division. Top to bottom, it's the toughest division in the NFL. It's going to be difficult, even the Chiefs, for any team to get to 11 wins in that division, because your schedule inside the division is so difficult. So if you can find a win total of 10.5, which is out there right now at BetMGM, you have to lay 150 on the under. I would play under 10.5 on the Chargers' wins. I think they're going to be around a 10-win team. Like I said, I think it's going to be really tough to get to 11 in that division. What they did do with the offense is they added Gerald Everett, a veteran tight end. They drafted Isaiah Spiller, a running back from Texas A&M in the fourth round, and Zion Johnson from Boston College to strengthen that offensive line. I think it's one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. I'll rank it somewhere in the top 10. Rashawn Slater was a great pick the previous year. Slater is the left tackle. They drafted him from Northwestern in the first round.
I think you feel good about, what, 4 out of the 5 positions pretty much along the offensive
line? Yeah, I'd say 4 out of 5 is accurate. And you look at Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. You've got a lot of weapons on that offense. But like you said, the question is run defense, and that might hold this team back. But in general, I think it's tough to bet any of these AFC West teams over these win totals of 10 or 10.5. When you're talking about a schedule that difficult. Can I point one more thing out to you, which is kind of under the radar?
Okay.
When you're talking about a Chargers win total, they've essentially got only 7 home games, because one of their home games is against the Rams on January 1st, and that's more of a home game for the Rams.
Yep.
So are you going to bet over a win total of 10 or 10.5 when a team's only got 7 true home games?
Yeah, I think that's something that's very much worth pointing out. And while home field over the last few seasons has been worth less and less, it is still worth very something. It's something. Yeah. And the Chargers do have to deal with that. And it's already a weaker home field throughout the season when you're not facing the other in-city team, right? Now you have to face them on essentially what's going to be a road game for you. So with that, quarterbacks always, of course, the focus of analysis when it comes to the National Football League. We have the news today with Deshaun Watson. It has been settled. It's going to be 11 games if you've been buried under a rock. It's going to be 11 games, and it's going to be a $5 million fine for Deshaun Watson, who will be out now, as we know, for those 11 games. Now, we can talk about the adjustments here, and if you'll notice, there's not really that crazy of an adjustment because I think a lot of operators went with the assumption that he was going to be gone anywhere from 8 to the rest of the season, right?
Yep.
And when I wrote the AFC North and the AFC East for the guide. And for the AFC North, I wrote my preview of the Browns, assuming he was going to be out for essentially the entire year. So we get this case now. Adjustments, Super Bowl odds, really no movement. 30-1 to 30-1 to win the AFC from 16-1 to 20-1. To win the AFC North, plus 320 to plus 380. And the win total gets shaved down one win from 9.5 to 8.5. So no return on Monday night for Deshaun Watson, as we expected. It's going to be 11 games. How much does this change your opinion of whatever your opinion was on Cleveland as we headed into the year?
Not that much, really, because after the 6-game suspension was handed down, you kind of expected at that point, okay, the NFL is going to increase this to 10 or it's going to be a full season.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think Watson looked very good at all in last week's preseason game. Okay, it was 3 series, but he was 1 for 5 for 7 yards, and it kind of confirmed my suspicions that this guy's been out of football almost for 2 years. You know, by the time he comes back, it's going to be basically 2 years he's been sitting out. He's been practicing, but it's not the same. He's not going to come back, I don't think, right away and light it up. I still think the Browns are going to be around an 8 or 9 win team. So I really believe the win total adjustment here is probably right, and it's going to come down to the wire. The decision on the win totals probably going to come down to the last few weeks when the Browns host the Saints, play at Washington, and play at Pittsburgh in week 18. How ironic is it, by the way, that Deshaun Watson comes back, JVT, in week 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
Against the Texans in Houston.
Yep. It's almost like it was done on purpose.
I think the NFLPA and Watson's camp really had no choice here but to throw in the towel,
right,
so to speak, because you had to accept if the NFL was going to offer anything less than a full season, I think you had to accept it from Watson's side.
So I got to tell you, the notion that I've kind of been like tinkering with as we enter the year, especially after I wrote up a little bit more about Cleveland, is I think my position going into the year is to bet on Cleveland kind of early from a game-to-game standpoint.
I think Jacoby Brissett's going to surprise people by how well he plays early. But then, like I've said, the more guy plays, the more he gets exposed.
Well, and if you look, like part of the thing, too, is, and I think I've pointed this out before, if you look at their opponents on the first, especially the first early part of the year.
The first 4 games, about as soft as it gets.
I'd say the first 6. I mean, you're talking about Patriots, Chargers, Falcons, Steelers, Jets, Panthers. I don't know why I'm going backwards today in terms of the list. But we're talking about teams that all ranked 15th or lower in rush defensive DVOA last year. Like, that is a schedule that is tailor-made for Jacoby Brissett and the Browns to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're talking, like, for example, one spot has the Panthers up to a 1.5-point favorite. You can throw that on a teaser and get your 7.5 and you include another leg. Little things like that, I'm going to be looking to support Cleveland, I think, relatively early, because I think the market might be a little overzealous in, like, the drop-off here. Because, I mean, how do you factor drop-off for a guy that hasn't even played for this team yet, right? That's the other thing. So
I think you're always in the NFL trying to capitalize on public overreactions.
Yeah.
A lot of people think the Browns are going to stink early. They'll probably surprise people, I think, and Brissett will play better. At Carolina, home against the Jets and Steelers, at Atlanta. I don't think Jacoby Brissett could ask for a better 4 games. Same holds true for the Browns when you're looking at the first month without Deshaun Watson.
All right, well, it is Thursday. You know what that means. We got a preseason game tonight. We can touch on that line move and a little bit more. We also have our Edge preseason top 40 poll to continue.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yo, VSiN College Football Guide's out now, folks, and our NFL Guide drops next week. Our experts provide profiles of every team with team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Remember, only way to get access to this year's football betting guide is to become a VSiN All-Access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special. Get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Check it all out, folks. NFL Guide work ending up today in the hands, well, digital hands, of Ben Fox and company.
Fired up about college football. It's right around the corner, buddy.
I'm super excited about that. What, we are 8 days away from college football?
Yep.
Week zero. And there's some pretty decent games when it comes to week zero.
Also fired up by NFL preseason week two, which kicks off tonight in Seattle.
Wow, let's talk about that. What a tease. That's not a tease. Seahawks, -3.5 with a total of 39.5. We know the news around Seattle. We talked about this the other day. Drew Lock not going to play for the Seattle Seahawks. Top positive COVID test. Incumbent starter, assumed starter, I should say, not incumbent. Geno Smith is going to get a little bit of time, it seems, for the Seattle Seahawks today. Maybe not much. We'll see what that's going to mean, at least in terms of Lock not being available. And for the Chicago Bears, you said it the other day, and I would assume, I have not seen a report to confirm this or not, I would assume you want to see something positive out of your offense. When it comes to your starters, considering how poorly it went for Justin Fields and the offense when they took on Kansas City last weekend.
Well, especially when you have a new coach. Yeah. Matt Eberflus probably wants to see this offense pick it up a little bit. Held scoreless in the first half against Kansas City. I think you've...
gave up quite a few pressures and sacks in a small sample size.
You know, not only that, your first team defense got bulldozed. And the Chiefs stood right down the field on the Bears and scored. So I think,
and it wasn't even like a dynamic. It was like power eye formation, dink and dunk, and like running on first down. It was a very bland looking Chiefs team that took you downfield.
Yeah. So I think actually, if you're a new coach of the Bears, and a lot of people are just dogging your team right now, let's put it that way, the Bears are catching a lot of criticism from all angles. I think you want to put these guys out there and see something positive happen, and also. Have some positive film to show these guys when you get back from this trip. But the Bears, there wasn't much good to take away. Even though they won that first game 19-14, they were down 2 touchdowns early, and it was garbage time where they came back to beat the Chiefs. So your backup quarterbacks behind Fields are Trevor Siemian and Nathan Peterman. How much confidence do you have in those two guys? I don't necessarily like Peterman. But I think Siemian is a guy who in the preseason could probably lead a couple scoring drives.
Well, he did, right? He threw 2 touchdowns against Kansas City.
He did last week, yeah. And he was a big reason that the Bears won that game. I think a lot of people are kind of counting out the Bears in this game. I'm not going to do that. I'm not laying the points with the Chiefs. I'm actually not going to bet the Bears. Seahawks. Yeah, the Bears beat the Chiefs last week. But here's the deal. If I had to bet this game, I'd probably take the points with the Bears, or at least look to bet the Bears maybe in the second half, because I think there's a little bit more urgency on that side. If you watch the first game, the Seahawks quarterbacks actually played pretty well. Mm-hmm. And going into tonight's game with Drew Lock out, you probably don't want to risk Geno Smith too much. I think you're going to see a lot of Jacob Eason tonight, and I'm not sure that's a really good thing for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I would agree on all fronts. And like, if you look a little bit deeper, the thing too, like, that was so disappointing about Justin Fields, and again, it's a small sample size, is if you really look at it, a lot of it wasn't his own fault. Yes, he stepped into a sack, but the limited 10 dropbacks that you had graded out relatively well. If you look at his ability to scramble, as we know, the athleticism, mm-hmm. had a dropped pass as well. Of course, not his fault. I think when you're looking at the reps from Siemian and Fields in a game like this, I'm with you. I put a little something on Chicago at +3.5.
Did you?
Yeah, I think the markets might be a little overzealous here, to your point. And here's the thing. I mean, we're talking about how poorly that game went for Chicago from a preseason sense. They won. Right? Like, that's mm-hmm. the other part about it. So I think, given everything, yeah, I put a little on Fields and the Bears, expecting, I think, a relatively solid performance and kind of buying on the overvalued nature in the market.
Yeah, by the way, the Seahawks opened 4.5 in this game. It's down to 3.5. The total opened 41, and that's down to 39.5.
Yep. So I'm in. Let's go, Justin. Don't let me down. This is the first time I believe in you. All right. Anyway, we move on from there because I have a bet on them under the win total, and I think they're going to be spectacularly awful in the regular season.
Talking about the Bears?
Yeah.
We both have under win total bets on the Bears.
Yeah. The Edge preseason top 40. We get to number 7, Matt Eumanns, and we go that kind of Chicago territory. The Big Ten, the Michigan Wolverines.
Hey, a lot of people thought the Bears, including Mike North, a radio personality in Chicago. Yeah. A lot of people thought the Bears should have gone after Jim Harbaugh as their coach.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Jim Harbaugh's ever going to leave because he's got a pretty good thing going.
And he was trying to leave. He was trying to leave last offseason.
But he's back, and he's coming off of a pretty good year. And I think they got a lot coming for him here. 12-2 straight up, 11-3 against the spread a year ago. They bring back 9 guys on offense, only 4 on a really talented defense from a season ago. Cade McNamara, of course, under center for Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. There is, I think, a lot to like about Michigan. And very quietly, I would say, you use the phrase, so I'll steal it, the cliche, potentially flying under the radar with Ohio State as a $2 favorite to win this conference. Mm-hmm. And everybody talking about them in the national sense. Here's Michigan bringing back 9 guys on offense and a lot of good talented guys on a defense. I would say that Michigan, dare I say, maybe a little underrated coming into this year, Matt?
I'm not going to go that far. Well, I actually...
A bridge too far, eh?
Well, I just need to see more from this Michigan team. I think things kind of just broke the right way for Michigan in terms of the schedule.
Yeah.
In that season-ending game against Ohio State. And then you saw the Wolverines. You and I talked about this. Just happy to be here. It was kind of their mentality in the college football playoff.
Finally broke through, and then, yeah.
Right. They win the Big Ten title game in a blowout. And they go to the college football playoff and just get embarrassed by Georgia. Not even in the game. 34-11, I believe. Yeah, that was the final score in that playoff game. Here's what concerns me about Michigan. Nobody's really talking about. 7 defensive starters from last year's team are now in the NFL.
Right. So a lot of talent gone.
You lost Haskins, a running back. Cade McNamara did not put up big numbers last year at quarterback. I still think even last year, Harbaugh was shuffling quarterbacks a little bit. And
as he usually does. He doesn't really ever seem to be happy.
Right. And I think he's obviously going to settle on McNamara at this point. But the offense should be the strength with 9 starters back. But that defense, when you lose 7 starters to the NFL, I don't care how good your recruiting's been, that's significant. This program's not at the Alabama or Georgia level yet. Mm-hmm. What you do like as far as Michigan is the way the schedule opens. Because Colorado State, Hawaii, Connecticut, and Maryland pose no threat whatsoever. So the Wolverines are going to be 4-0. And they're not going to have to leave Ann Arbor for the first month.
Yeah.
But when they go to Iowa City on October 1st, that's going to be the real first real test to see how good this Michigan team is. So you got 4 byes, essentially, and then you go to Iowa to open October, a home game against Penn State, home game against Michigan State with a bye in between. Mm-hmm. So that schedule gets a little bit, it gets a lot tougher in October.
It does, but I feel like for me, like when I looked at this, the one thing that stuck out, like when you look at their opponents this year, like for their defense, missing a lot of personnel, and this is kind of true for the Big Ten as a whole, but if you look at that, which of these dynamic and explosive offenses are you really fearing outside of Ohio State that Michigan is opposing, right? I mean, you look at it across the board, and we're talking about
Nebraska.
Okay, right? Like, I mean, they, that's the thing. I mean, Iowa, okay. I mean, they're not really explosive.
Sean,
you know,
Clifford,
what the game is.
And Penn State.
Yeah, you know what the game is against a team like Iowa. And you mentioned one of the things that works in their favor. Penn State is a really tough opponent. Michigan State's a really tough opponent. I mean, we'll even throw Nebraska. Who knows what Nebraska is at that time of the year, but I think they'll be improved. It's a tough opponent. 3 commonalities there. They're all playing them at home. So, that's for me when I kind of look at Michigan and what their potential could be this year. I don't think they're making it back to the playoff, and I don't think I want to lay $125 to go over 9.5. Like, if we're talking 8.5, be totally in, and obviously it's a win less. So, yes, of course you'd be in. But I think, like, when you look at it overall, I think there is certainly a possibility that this team wins those 9-10 games, given the level of offense that they're facing on their schedule, both conference and non.
I've got Michigan at 9-3.
Yeah. So it's not like it's crazy. I'd be really intrigued to see what this defense looks like against some of those offenses because
the schedule's not tough, and that's an issue. So if Michigan's 10-2, I'm not going to be stunned because the schedule really sets up well for this.
Well,
Wolverine
losses
team.
To Penn State and Ohio State, Michigan State and Ohio State, you know, go 10-2.
Michigan's had a lot of problems with the Spartans.
Yes, they have
in recent years. So I would say. I'm still going to stick with 9-3. Yeah, 10-2 is not going to stun me, but I just don't think this Michigan team is elite. I mean, it's
right.
When you lose 7 defensive starters to the NFL, that's significant because, like I said, it's not Alabama, Georgia, Clemson yet.
Here's my question for you. Although I think once the season gets along in conference play, Colorado State's going to be a little better than most people think. I don't know if even most people think about Colorado State in general. What's their point differential by the time they get to September 24th?
Oh, they're going to crush these teams.
Right. You know what I mean? They're going to smoke all 3 of their first.
Michigan's probably going to be in the top 5 when it goes to Iowa on October 1st because it's going to obliterate each of those first 4 opponents. Colorado State and Hawaii are rebuilding. Connecticut, I actually like Connecticut's coaching hire, and I think eventually that team, but they're not prepared for this at this point. Yeah. And Maryland. Is a decent Big Ten team, but lower middle of the pack.
Yep.
Michigan's going to crush those first 4 teams.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out on a limb. It's not a limb. We're going to get an undefeated Michigan team on the road against Iowa on October 1st, and that'll be a really intriguing Big Ten game. All right, we'll take our break. When we come back, Brian Edwards, senior handicapper, Vegas Insider, is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on where we have the Wolverines ranked and what his new win total that he added is and why he bet it.
is The Edge on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, welcome back. This segment of The Edge is presented by Zen Nicotine Pouches. Zen Nicotine Pouches are a fresher, simpler way to enjoy nicotine that have helped millions of people achieve lasting change by offering smoke-free and spit-free satisfaction. Zen understands there isn't one right time to make a change. Everyone's timeline is a little different. Everyone is on their own journey. But whenever you feel like you're ready to take that first step toward change, Zen is there for you. Check out Zen Nicotine Pouches at Zen.com, at ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine, which is an addictive chemical. Zen.com. Let's get to Brian Edwards, senior handicapper at Vegas Insider.
That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel, and Brian Edwards is with us. Now, Brian, you did know my name was John, right?
Well, yeah, I knew it was Jonathan. I've never heard you called John, though, and I just call you JBT. So it did take me a little off guard when the producer said John.
Yeah, for those who don't know behind the scenes, we call our guest, and Sean, our audio technician, decided to introduce me by my name, which threw Brian for a little bit of a loop.
All right. Who's John?
Yeah, right. That's okay. My dad. I'm Jonathan. Okay. All right, Brian, so let's talk a little about our most recent team in our Edge preseason top 40. We unveiled Michigan at number 7, so we'll open as we usually do. Too high, too low, or just right for Michigan checking in as our 7th best team in our Edge preseason poll?
It's about right. I actually have them 4. I think Clemson's got a better roster, but I just doubt Clemson's quarterback play, so I've got Clemson 5th. So I got Michigan 4, but I mean 7, you know, enough. They were plus 1571 in net yardage last year. They were only plus 2 in turnover margin, so it wasn't like they were catching all the breaks. They had 9 wins by 15 or more. They returned 9 starters on offense, 4 on defense. I initially marked them 8-0 with 4 swing games, the 4 swing games being at Iowa, Penn State at home, Michigan State at home, and at Ohio State. So I think they're going to lose to Ohio State. Out of at Iowa and Penn State at home, I think they probably split. I don't know which one they lose. I will say this about Penn State at home. Penn State's got the revenge angle and 2 weeks to prepare, mm-hmm. and Michigan will be playing their 7th game in 7 weeks. I do think Michigan beats Sparty with a revenge angle. I mean, they were plus 157 in yardage with them, but, you know, they let that one get away in East Lansing last year. So, I mean, I'll call it 10-2. I mean, they might go 11-1. So I guess I slightly lean to the over on 9.5, but it's not one I'm looking to play.
I think the tricky aspect of the Iowa game on October 1st is that Michigan's going to play 4 cupcake opponents at home mm-hmm. in the month of September and not really be challenged before its first road game at Iowa. And that's not going to be an easy task against the Hawkeyes on the road. And like you said, then you got Penn State and Michigan State coming to Ann Arbor later in that month. And Penn State is a team I think is better than a lot of people think with Sean Clifford at quarterback.
And to your point, really quickly, mm-hmm. the Hawkeyes will be a little tested because they have Iowa State, mm-hmm. they have Nevada, the powerhouse that is, and Rutgers on the road. So there's something there.
Okay, let's get to the Michigan defense, Brian. I want to ask you this. How much do you chart recruiting, and what did you see in the transfer portal for Jim Harbaugh? Because Michigan lost 7 defensive starters to the NFL. So are you confident there's a talent there to plug those holes?
I still think they're going to be really good defensively, but, you know, they did lose their top 4 tacklers. They lost 6 of their top 8 tacklers. So, you know, it may take a little while, but the schedule's so easy early, you know, I think they can, you know, incorporate a lot of, you know, younger new guys, and they have recruited well. So I don't know that they'll be as good defensively as they were last year. Certainly won't have Hutchinson, but I still think they'll be a pretty solid defense. And, you know, they should be a little better offensively. I mean, they averaged 35.8 last year. They may be able to, you know, get closer to 40 there. So, look, I don't think they're going to, you know, I think they're going to lose that Ohio State at the end of the year. So I don't think they're, I mean, they're going to be in the conversation, you know, probably, you know, deep into November. But this team is not going to make a CFP again, in my opinion.
No, but like JVT and I talked about in the first segment, Michigan's going to be 4-0 with four blowout wins going to that game in Iowa on October 1st, and Michigan's probably going to be a top five team at that point, and then we'll find out what the Wolverines got when they hit the road for the first time.
All right, Brian, so I know that you added a new season win total in this last week. Let's go to the SEC. Give us your thoughts here on Mississippi State. Win total is 6.5, and where you're going with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm going to go over 6.5. This team only lost 14 Letterman. They bring back 9 starters on defense, 8 on offense. They went 7-6 last year, but they were better than that. They were plus 1,257 in net yardage. I mean, they out-yarded LSU by 143. They lose by 3. They had missed a field goal in that game. I mean, their field goal kicking just crushed them last year. They missed 3 field goals at Arkansas in a 3-point loss. We all know what happened at Memphis. That was nonsense on that 95-yard punt return. And there's the stat. In 3 instances when Mike Leach has had a third-year starting QB, he's won at least 9 games. And I don't know that they're going to win 9 this year, but we only got to get to 7 to go over the 6.5. I think Will Rogers is going to have a fantastic season. I really like their D coordinator. I like their receivers. And, it's Mike Leach runs the air raid offense. It's all about, timing, repetition, and I think Rogers has got it down pat. And I think, on November 12th at home, I think that, I haven't seen a Games of the Year line for Georgia at Mississippi State, so I'm not actually betting on it now. So if Mississippi State is very injured, banged up in November, forget I'm about to say this. But right now I think it's a really tough spot for Georgia in Starkville. They play 2 weeks before against Florida, the week before they play at Tennessee, and they'll have at Kentucky on deck all their biggest division games. And right there, sandwiched in the middle, November 12th, they have to go to Starkville. And I think Mississippi State may be the team to knock off Georgia, to give Georgia its only loss this year.
All right, follow him at Vegas B. Edwards. He's high on Mike Leach and Mississippi State over 6.5 and to possibly knock off Georgia. Brian,
Mississippi State was our 27th ranked team, by the way.
27th ranked team. Our 8th ranked team that we did yesterday was Notre Dame. And are you a big Paul Finebaum fan, Brian?
Paul was very good to me way back when. He had me on his show every Monday in 07, 08, and 09. But I haven't talked to him in a long time.
So he doesn't care about you anymore. Let's listen to Paul. He's moved on to bigger and better things. Let's listen to Paul Finebaum break down Notre Dame and what he said about Notre Dame's top 10 ranking. This is on ESPN.
It's Notre Dame. They should not even be in the top 10, Greeny. This is an absolute joke, and it happens every year with the AP poll, which is about as worthless as preseason NFL football. It's ridiculous. Notre Dame is going to get run in the first game of the season. I mean, they're going to get destroyed at the Big House. And then after that, they have to go to North Carolina a couple weeks later, a team that will bounce back this year. They have Clemson on this schedule, and they have SC. They'll be fortunate to go 9-3. Laughable that they're in the top 5 or 6.
All right, that show, that ESPN Get Up show, I think is geared. They want the analysts to come out with hot takes. Bold statements,
yep.
Right?
And
you see a lot of audio clips on there of guys making bold predictions. We've had 2 of them on this show today for the first time, by the way. But your former friend Paul Finebaum said it's a joke for Notre Dame to be in the top 10. What's your assessment of the Irish? And there's been a lot of bad news in camp with injuries, and they're going to be catching more than 2 touchdowns at Ohio State in that opener, Brian.
Yeah, so I'm usually the one saying things like that about Notre Dame. I do normally think that they're overrated, and I agree with Paul on his assessment of the AP rankings. However, I've got Notre Dame at number 7 this year. Now, I haven't adjusted anything based on, Avery Davis is a key injury for them at the wide receiver position. I know they've had a couple of other injuries. My question with Notre Dame is the quarterback play. If the quarterback play ends up pretty, being pretty good, then I think they're going to be really good. I think they've got a really good roster. But I'm not positive on the QB play. We'll just have to see. I have a mark 8-2, with 2 swing games, that being BYU in Las Vegas and Clemson at home. If they lose those 2, they'll go 8-4 and have a disappointing season. But I don't think they're as overrated as they normally are this year. I mean, I rarely have them in my top 10, and I'm, like I said, I've got them number 7.
Brian Edwards, senior handicapper, Vegas Insider. Brian, it's good to talk to you, man. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thanks, all. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too. I got another swing spot for Notre Dame. Circle October 22nd. Big spot.
UNLV.
Can I say really quickly that I think Finebaum is wrong in the sense that I think we understand that coming into this year, the gap between 1, 2, and 3 and then the rest of college football is pretty wide. So Notre Dame could still be a top 10 team.
Yeah, it's not a joke that Notre Dame's a top 10 team just because you're going to get blown out at Ohio State. I mean, a lot of teams get blown out at Ohio State in that season opener. I think, like I said, that's all about hot takes and bold statements. But Notre Dame is still a fringe top 10 team.
All right, we come back. I walked into the studio to the biggest smile I've ever seen. We'll talk about that.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Pocket cash with popular picks. Join Levi's 501 Pop Culture Pools for free and answer questions for a shot at a share of $10,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Levi's now to get in on the action. Levi's, buy better, wear longer. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We usually don't plan these things, Matt, but guess what? Levi's, baby. Bam.
Wearing Levi's?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Look at that.
Nice.
How about that, huh?
Like a male model.
I totally did that fluidly and athletically. I did not pull my hamstrings in any way whatsoever. Yeah. I'm out of breath now.
I'm not going to do that. How about let's talk golf? We got the second stop in the FedEx Cup playoffs, the BMW Championship. And just like everyone thought, at the top of the leaderboard today, Keegan Bradley and Adam Scott.
Yeah, right? Good start for both of them.
Yeah, exactly. Keegan Bradley, a long shot, 7-under. Adam Scott, 6-under. Harold Varner is one of those guys you can bet to be a first-round leader. He's a fast starter. He's a 5-under in the clubhouse today. He's not going to lead after the first round, but only 2 strokes back. Justin Thomas is right there with Shane Lowry. My best bet looks like it's going to be Colin Morikawa. I've got him at 23-1. He's at 4-under. He's finished for the day. Cameron Young is at 2-under through 8. And a couple guys off to rough starts today. John Rahm, 2-over through the front nine. And Will Zalatoris not going to back up his win with back-to-back wins. I think Willie Z is 2-over par right now as well. So I'm disappointed to see John Rahm off to such a poor start. Tony Finau.
I was going to say, did you mention?
Tony Finau's also shot himself out of it. Finau, 6-over in the clubhouse today. 1 stroke out of last place with 68 players in this field. So throw out Finau. John Rahm is about to shoot himself out of it. Colin Morikawa, Cameron Young, still in the hunt with about 8 holes to play for most players who are still on the course today. Let's get to NFL preseason best bets. I'm sticking so far with the first 2 games I put out Tuesday morning with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard on Follow the Money. Dolphins +2 against the Raiders and Cowboys. Betting against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are now 0-5 straight up in ATS the last 2 preseasons under Mike McCarthy. They're going to play Chargers -3 over the Cowboys. Dolphins +2, Chargers -3. And tonight you have a play on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, right? I forgot to send it to Santos, so forgive me, Matt. But yes, Chicago +3.5 against the Seattle Seahawks. With the fact that Drew Lock is not going to be available, and you kind of alluded to this when we talked about it, I would assume that means that Geno Smith, who is the presumed starter at this point as we get closer to the regular season, is not going to have that long of a leash, and it's going to be mostly Jacob Eason. Trevor Siemian played really well against Kansas City. In the time in which he was kept clean, the numbers were good for Justin Fields if he's going to be out there. So I do think that the market might be a little too high on Seattle in this situation at home against Chicago. Give me the Bears, who actually ended up winning against the Kansas City Chiefs despite a poor start from their offense.
Yeah, I kind of like your play there. You know, speaking of the Dolphins play I've got against the Raiders, Tua's had some tough practices. He's been throwing some picks.
All I've heard is that it's incredible.
Oh, I know.
I saw
Tyreek Hill talking about how Tua's on par with Patrick Mahomes. Right?
Why is his name escaping me? Head coach of the Dolphins, but I saw an interview with him.
Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, thank you. Mike McDaniel, who was most accurate quarterback I've ever seen, most catchable ball that I've ever seen. Well, like,
get out of here.
We get it. You're selling it, but you don't have to do this whole thing.
No, but I think Tua's going to get some playing time, probably Tyreek Hill too. And even if they don't play much at all, Skylar Thompson really played well. He was the only quarterback to play for the Dolphins in the preseason game at Tampa Bay last week. And I think the Raiders are going to treat this. Josh McDaniels is very close to the vest.
Yes, he is.
With information. But I think the Raiders kind of treat this as a throwaway game because they've got 4 preseason games. I really believe week 4 for them, week 3 in the preseason against the Patriots is going to be the dress rehearsal week for the Raiders because they've got a little more than 2 weeks before the first game. So it makes a lot more sense to play Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, a lot of your first team guys against the Patriots in week 3 and just evaluate more backups here in week 2. So I like the Dolphins +2. I think that line's dropped to 1 at a lot of places. And the Cowboys, are dealing with a little bit of an injury to CeeDee Lamb. I still think the Cowboys are probably going to treat week three as dress rehearsal and probably set a lot of guys out this week. And still, JVT, a very sloppy team. 17 penalties for 129 yards in week one against the Broncos. I don't see any sort of buy sign on the Cowboys. And the Chargers, after blowing that game last week to the Rams, I do think you'll start to see Brandon Staley play a few more guys. And maybe this is a game. By the way, the Cowboys and Chargers have been practicing together all week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cowboys are a fade. The Cowboys are a bet against team. And I kind of feel that way about the whole season for the Cowboys, too. I'm playing them under the win total at 10.5 at BetMGM.
And remember, as these preseason games get started, to see what we're going to see from a total standpoint, 14-3 to the over through the first 17 games. Mm-hmm. So as we get play started today with a total of 39.5, we'll see if that trend continues. We have seen the market kind of start to come down a little bit, though. For example, we talked about the opening average total in what, the low 40s. I think it was like 40, 41.
So the in week one, the opening totals averaged 33. This week, actually, his first week is 33.5. This week is 41. Yep. Was the average opening total.
And if you look at from the rotation standpoint heading into tomorrow, the totals we're looking at now on the market, 39.5, 40, 39.5, 38, 39. So while they are still a little bit higher, they're starting to make their way down. So we'll see if this is going to be the case for these preseason games. All right.
We'll talk about this with baseball real quickly. Wayne Krivsky, former GM of the Cincinnati Reds, who's been on the show with us.
Friend of the show.
He mentioned this note last night. I wasn't watching the game, so I didn't see it. The Cleveland Baseball Club scored 6 runs after a wild pitch on a strike 3 call that would have been the third out last night. How about that for good luck if you happen to bet on Cleveland? And do you think you felt lucky if you won with the New York Yankees last night?
I think it did, considering how poorly they played. And I mentioned and I mentioned the big smile that I got, and that was Matt Santos, our producer. I was right. You said he had personal things going on. I said, nah, it's just the Bronx Bombers Blues. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think it's both.
And sure enough, I walk in, man, it's the first thing he says. Aha, how about the Yankees? Walk off grand 8-7, the
did
final
say,
score.
Like that? Ha-ha?
I think he did, yeah. Okay. Yankees finally get a win. Are they off the schneid with one win, or do you have to get multiple wins?
No, I think it's just a big relief because there's been an impending cloud of doom hanging over the Yankees, and the fact that they get that win kind of clears the air a little bit. Last night, they were down 7-4 after Aroldis Chapman gave up a bases-clearing double in the 10th inning last night. So Josh Donaldson hits the grand slam, and the Yankees, I think now, are 3-11 in their past 14 games.
Yeah, so good for them. They made it through. And one more note, too, speaking of, you talk about like kind of blues, especially in the New York area. Mm-hmm. The Mets finally kind of get this to stop. They stopped the streak for the Atlanta Braves, who had gone into that one, like 7, I think was, straight, something like that.
Yeah.
And they get a 9-7 win, although it was a little dicey. Yeah. And they gave up 2 earned runs in the bottom of the ninth, but eventually they did get it done against the Braves.
If you stake Max Scherzer to a 4-run lead, you think you're going to be pretty safe. Might be pretty comfortable with that bet. That was not the case last night. The Braves rallied. Scherzer had some trouble in the 7th inning, but the Mets hold on to win that game 9-7 as $1.50 favorites, and that was a win the Mets needed.
And Edwin Diaz did pitch. He pitched in the 8th inning. So. Yeah. That was out there. All right, let's talk about games today. It's a short slate because we actually have a lot of day games that are currently either underway or final.
How'd your best bet on the Rockies do today?
The best bet on the Rockies that I did not have, I'm going to say that it didn't go well.
13-0 Cardinals.
Okay, there we go.
Albert Pujols hit a grand slam home run number 690.
Somewhere Artie Moreno, since the All-Star break, you know he's hitting over 400. Somewhere Artie Moreno's like, I told you, he's still got something left. Yeah, it's going well for Pujols now that he's away from Anaheim and it's post-All-Star break. But 13-0, he continues to deliver. And the Cardinals, speaking of this too, I mean, all these games are very important. The Cardinals still in control of the Central and are in control of one of those spots in the postseason. And right now, Milwaukee 2 games back. Mm-hmm. OLI, as they say, outside looking into the postseason.
Well, Milwaukee Brewers off to a good start today. Bottom of the 8th, they lead the Dodgers 5-3. Dodgers haven't lost too many games recently. How about tonight's game? Let's wrap up the show with the Blue Jays and Yankees to make our producer happy. What do you think?
Well, I think so. And this is pretty fascinating because you get Frankie Montas, who's kind of been a little bit of a disappointment for the Yankees since they acquired him. But you get the pitching machine that used to be Jose Berríos that is on the hill for the Toronto Blue Jays. And this is kind of the theme that I've been harping on over the last week or so, which is Toronto kind of being overvalued by the market. But this is pretty fascinating because you get Berríos, who has not pitched well in any sense whatsoever, against the Yankees lineup that finally broke out yesterday with Montas on the hill. Yankees are $1.50 favorite with a total 8.5. But I got to say, given the sample size of both teams, I don't know how you feel comfortable backing either one, but I would lean here toward the Yankees, even at the minus 150 price, because Barrios, you have seen not a sliver of, I think, good performance from him.
Yeah, I think the Yankees might be able to carry over some of that momentum from last night against a pitcher they should be able to hit today, the Blue Jays. I don't want to lay $1.50. That price is a little bit too high, but I think the Yankees probably win back-to-back games if I had to bet on it.
Yeah, we also get later tonight, too. Don't forget, Jacob deGrom will be on the hill for the New York Mets as they have this series with the Atlanta Braves still going. Max Fried on the other side. So it's going to be a good one. It's a good night of baseball. Yesterday was pretty solid, too. You want to talk about Royals and Rays as we get out of here?
Not really. We got 10 seconds left. Wrap it up.
That's enough time. All right. We're all done. Beeson.com. Hey, by the way, there's an NBA column up. How about that? I made an observation about every single regular season schedule in the NBA. Check that out and much more on the website, Beeson.com. We'll see you.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.